Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Don't sweat the technique. Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
One Branham bet for you real quick. Anthony Richardson's 550.5 rushing yards. That's his total. Play the over. Branham just did.
If he's healthy, he'll smash that.
Branham just played it a minute ago. BetUS.com. Yeah. A little bonus Branham bet. Let's get to our Texans game here. What was our bet yesterday? I already forgot. I have the worst short-term memory. We bet a Coke on something.
We did. We bet it on, and I knew, I was thinking about it this morning, and now I forgot what it was.
What did Blankers and I bet a Coke on yesterday? 713-780-3776. I literally
it
forgot.
It was something with, it was Tank Dell returning punts and kicks.
That's right. If Steven Sims is not the punt returner, who is the first guy out there? I said Tank Dell. Blankers said no, and we bet a Coke on it.
Who do you think it'll be instead of Tank Dell, Blankers?
Anybody.
Anyone else.
So you got field. The field. He got the field.
Yeah, I just want them to be smarter than they were a year ago and not put his ass out there.
That's a good value bet, taking the field.
I hope I lose the bet. I hope I'm buying you a Coke Zero on Monday.
So in order for you to win, Tank Dell can't have a single punt return?
No. It's first one.
Okay.
First non-Steven Sims.
Right. Gotcha. Okay.
The nuance that we bet here. All right, so we've been doing this the last couple of years. It's kind of like name that tune. How far are you willing to go? The Texans, and we've really, like, we've went full circle here because when we started doing this, it was the David Culley Texans, and we really didn't want to go, like, top 30 when it came to certain numbers.
Analytics has.
You still have a David Culley drop in the system, huh? Yeah, we're going to play the analytics here of the Houston Texans.
I know analytics has.
Let's go with scoring defense, how far we're willing to go. We'll go age before beauty, so Blankers will go first. We'll go around the horn here. How far are you willing to go? Scoring defense here. Okay. What are the stakes, by the way? Are they actual stakes? We're going to bet a stake?
I don't know we're going that high.
Okay. What do you want to bet then?
I mean, what did we do last year?
I think we did lunch.
We did lunch. We just never...
We never paid up our bets.
I think we still owe Joel for March Madness as well.
Yeah. Do we? I know I won something recently.
I paid off. There was bet.
I think there was like a three-way bet that we made that I won that I don't remember though.
Well, I know I paid off a drink bet with you.
You did.
I don't remember exactly what the bet was about.
Brian paid off a drink bet somewhere we were getting drinks for free.
I paid for it, didn't I?
Wow, well played, sir.
He goes, I owe you a drink. You want one? And he's like, yeah, put it on the tap. I'm like, what is this?
What is that? I paid for it.
Outed him.
No. Jeremy's lying right now.
Don't let the truth get in the way of a good story.
Yeah.
All right, scoring defense. How far are you willing to go with their scoring defense? Last year, whoever won the I picked all of them.
Took all of them last year.
Top 23 scoring defense was the winner last year. How high are you willing to go this year?
So, for clarity, the scoring defense is...
Points for, or points against.
Points allowed, whatever. Points against.
That's points awesome. Against the Texans defense.
Yeah.
I'm going to go, I'm going to say top 18.
Okay. Brian?
I'm willing. I'll jump ahead. I'll say top 10.
I'll go top 9. I'm willing to go one more up that top 9 scoring defense.
I'm good.
You're out.
I'm out.
You don't believe in the Texans.
I believe in them, but I don't.
I'll go top 8.
Okay. I wasn't very good at this game last year. Top 8 scoring
you ended
defense.
Up with all of them. Although I think all of them hit for you, so you ended up fine.
Then how did I not win this?
No. I think there was some differentiation.
Okay.
I don't know. I think I did win this one last year.
If he's the only one that's actually on it, how could he lose?
If I get them wrong.
Yeah, if
you
get that's them wrong. True.
That's but I don't true. Think I did. Top 23 scoring offense or defense, top 25 scoring offense,
you hit
top 27
of
passing offense, top 28 rushing offense. I might have missed on that. And then draft slot 5 or lower.
Yeah, you would have missed on, I think, rushing offense and draft slot.
I think I got 3 of the 5.
Still 3 out of 5.
Yeah, I think I did win this one last year. I'll go top 8. scoring defense.
Well, Brian said that.
Yeah, I already had top eight.
Did you
said top nine and Joel passed, and then I said
seven.
Top eight.
Crap.
So you'd have to go seven or better.
Okay, seven. Why not? Let's ride.
Yeah, let's ride. Swarm, baby. Top six.
Cheers.
Ooh. Wow.
Wow, that was quick.
I was a little uncomfortable with seven.
I was willing to go to top five, so I had a little more room there. So I'll go ahead and take that. I'm at top six.
All right, so you got six. Your name is Brian. All right, scoring offense. We'll start with Brian now, since interest of fairness. How high are you willing to go with the scoring offense?
All right, let's get past the 20s. There's no reason to start that low. I'll start with top 15.
Now, you do have to have a top 10 offense these days to be a Super Bowl contender. So I'll go 10. I'm going to go all the way up to 10. Top 10 scoring offense for the Texans.
I'll go 9.
I'll go 8.
7.
6.
I will bow out.
This is tough. Can the Texans have a top 5 offense, Branham? That is the question that I am deliberating now. Scoring offense, their running game would need to be good.
They were 13th, I think, last year, just for the record.
Thank you for the information.
Shut your mouth, Brian, and let them make a decision.
Because I picked all of them last year, and I want you boys to have a little fun this year, I will bow out. Okay. I'll give you six.
So, I like it.
So Brian has six scoring defense. Blankers has six scoring offense. Now, passing offense. I'll begin here. I'll just start in the – I'll start top 10. Top 10 passing offense.
9th.
I'll go 8.
6. Force you into a top 5 decision.
Yeah, because I think that was the threshold on the scoring offense. Where you said 6?
I did.
Oh man, I want to, but
put them on the clock.
I'll bow out.
I'll go top 5.
I have a lot of CJ Stroud stock this season. You can have it. You can have it 5th.
I mean, obviously, I think if we're willing to go top 6, I think we're all agreed that they're going to be a better passing team than a running team. So I was willing to go definitely the top 4.
Yeah. Yeah, so you're getting good value here, Brian. All right, rushing offense. Blankers, you begin.
Yeah. Rushing offense.
Come on, Mr. Joe Mixon.
I know.
Yeah, show you're the Mixon stand here.
Top 25.
I don't know. All offseason, I've heard Joe Mixon's the truth. And now
so much better.
Is it over yet? Okay, we just started.
Yesterday, you said he was going to go over 1,000 yards.
And I believe that.
Okay. All right, so it's on me now.
That is fair.
Joel, you said 25.
Uh-huh.
I'll go to 23.
22.
21.
I'll bow out.
I'll go to 19.
You can have it.
All right, cool. I like that, actually. 9th, Branham. Damian Pierce, baby. It's Damian Pierce season.
Good luck with that.
All right. It's Brian now.
Yeah.
This one's win, so not that much negotiation here, I imagine. We did
Was it Brian?
Because you were first last time.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, we're going around the horn. So Brian gets first pick here. How many wins will the Texans have this year?
I'll be interested to see if you guys are going to – I'm going to start at, I think, the number you guys want to settle in at. So I'm going to start at a 10.
Oh, that's a good bet. That's a good opening bid.
See, that's because we did a video before the show.
I already know where you want to settle at, so I might be able to get them at their lowest possible price.
That's a good opening bid. You said 10?
Yep, yeah. 10 wins.
I'll go 11.
I'm out.
I knew Joel was
out.
Out.
In no way I'm going to 11.
I saw what you said on that video.
No.
11 was my win when Sam asked us, so I'm going to bow out.
Dang it, I thought you said 12.
No, I said 11 wins.
I knew exactly what he said.
I thought he said 12.
No, I said 11.
I'm like Brian, I wasn't going to even give him a helper, but I was going to go, I'm already.
I was playing poker. I thought for sure he was going to go to 12, because I thought he said 12.
No, yeah, Brian already flipped knew
over
where
your
I
card
was.
And I saw it.
Oh, I goofed. Yep. Yeah, I thought you were going to say 12.
No.
Ah, that's bad job, Branham. Bad job, Branham. All right, how far they'll get? What is the furthest that they will get?
You start. Right?
I start. I'll go. Now, this is whenever they're eliminated.
Yeah, whatever. Well, you could say obviously not make the playoffs, but whatever round they're eliminated in.
Yeah, whatever round they're. I'll go divisional round.
I'm out.
I'll go conference championship, and then I'm there because I know you're not going.
Yeah, I'm not going Super Bowl. I'm out on that. All right. Yeah, I screwed up the win thing. I have a bad taste in my mouth. So Brian's got the scoring defense, top 6. Blanker's the scoring offense, top 6. Brian has the passing offense, top 5. I feel like I might have screwed that one up too. I feel like I should have went 4th. Whatever. Rushing offense, 19th for me. Wins, 11, me. I goofed. I was playing poker and I got beat. And then how far they'll get conference championship, Brian. All right.
So lunch bet?
Lunch bet. Yeah.
Should we decide now where we're going, or is that, do we want to wait till the end of the year?
Until we get our sponsors.
That's a good call.
To sponsor us.
That's a proper decision, yes.
Slide into my DMs at Jeremy Branham. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Who screwed up the most there? Whose side of that little negotiation game do you like? Throw some clusters of teams at us. Who do we think of a group of teams are going to have the best season in the NFL? NFL kickoff tomorrow. 713-780-ESPN. The HRP listener line. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Red Bull Show Run coming to town on Saturday, September 7th. You got to get out there. I know that you're fired up about F1. You're fired up about Red Bull. Get out there on Saturday. No, it's cool. It's free to everyone. Thanks to Red Bull. They're bringing F1 to Houston this Saturday in the heart of downtown Houston at Discovery Green. See championship winning F1 cars doing sprints, burnouts, much, much more around Discovery Green at a custom-built racetrack. This will be the first time ever in the U.S. where you can see dual appearances with two championship-winning F1 cars racing across downtown. In addition to that, explore the Red Bull Fan Zone. Local food vendors that you're familiar with that are delicious, all the Red Bull racing merch, Max Verstappen, whatever you want to get of his, 10 racing simulators. That's going to be a lot of fun. And free activities for racing fans of all ages that will show you the exciting world of Red Bull. Single day admission-free event open to everybody. Tickets are not required. Bring the family for a day of F1 fun. And if you are going, here's some tips to plan your day around. Street closures will be in effect, so make sure you're aware of those. Public transportation, ride shares, highly encouraged. The event will kick off at 10 a.m. with the opening of the Red Bull Fan Zone, so get there early. Experience racing simulators, photo op moments, claim your viewing spot, and the racing action begins at noon. Do not be late. Make sure you get the best spot around the track. This is Saturday, all day, Discovery Green in Houston. Learn more by visiting redbull.com/showrunhouston. redbull.com/showrunhouston.
Loaded, ready to rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
You know the news that's breaking the internet right now? Bill Belichick has joined Instagram.
Did you see how he said it?
I didn't see it. I just noticed it.
He went on McAfee and said, Pat, I have a big announcement. I'm joining InstaFace.
He did that on purpose.
Yeah, of course he did.
He knows what he's doing.
Yeah, my mom used to do that all the time. My mom used to call it face, place, space.
Did she do it on purpose? Or?
Yeah. Was thing.
Belichick's living the gimmick. 6167, Branham didn't say what kind of Coke. The original Coke.
You already know that I drink Coke Zero.
Yeah. He didn't say that. What kind of Coke? I just want regular Coke. Just give me the classic. 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line. All right, Brian, throw some clusters of teams at us. Put us on the spot. And which of these teams do we think is going to have the best season? How many clusters do you have for us?
Let's start with three, and I can always clusters. Add some more if we decide to go a little bit further. But let's start with division winners in the NFC. Make this a little tough. Okay. We'll go 49ers, Cowboys, and Lions.
Ooh. Go ahead, Blank.
And then what are we doing?
Who's the best team of that cluster? Who finishes the better year?
Yeah, 49ers, Lions, Cowboys.
49ers to me.
Yeah, I don't think this one's that hard.
I thought you loved the Lions. I mean, hell, they led in the NFC Championship game at half.
I do love the Lions.
I think you'd make it. I think if you would have taken the Cowboys out and put the Eagles in, it would have been even more interesting to me.
I don't think so. Because I still think they would be the third team, though.
Well, you're probably right.
I think the 49ers and the Lions are the top two teams in the NFC. Mm-hmm. I just don't. And I love the Lions. You know, I like the fighting knee biters of Detroit. Love me some Benny Johnson. Brian likes Jared Goff to be the MVP this year.
You got some love today on that, by the way.
Top five.
Did he? Good Morning Football this morning. Akbar Bajabiamila was all over your prognosis on Jared Goff. And
they said Brian McDonald of the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 predicts that Jared Goff can win MVP.
Wasn't part of one of the reasons you said was because he's playing most of his games indoors?
Yeah, all but three games are indoors.
They put the entire schedule up and showed with all the different indoor games he had. I was like, well, geez, just have BMAC on.
Yeah.
His home road splits are insane.
What I learned today is that Brian watches Good Morning Football. is what I learned.
In the future, I watched it a week in advance.
I understand that. I'm saying he stole his take from Good Morning Football.
Oh, gotcha.
Give me the 49ers. I think the 49ers are in a class by themselves in the NFC. Then I think you drop down a tier. I think you have the Lions. I think the Eagles are in that tier. I think the Lions are the better team in that tier. But I think the 49ers are in a class by themselves. Mm. So give me the Niners.
So you're both going 49ers.
Yeah, I actually, on that point, though, I think the Eagles may turn out to be better than the Lions because of the defense.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I think it'd be because of the offense, though.
I don't know, man. I forgot some of the guys that they added on the Eagles' defense. I think the Eagles' defense is going to be really, really strong.
No, I'm not disagreeing that front. I'm saying the Eagles have to be better offensively.
Yeah, when you add Saquon, you would assume they would be.
Some people think he's a little overrated.
Saquon. Got to stay healthy.
I think Kellen Moore's a bigger addition than Saquon Barkley. Hot take.
Hmm. Yeah, that offense was so uncreative last year. Mm-hmm. They were like the lowest team in the league as far as motion pre-snap, which is what all good offenses run. So hopefully at least Kellen Moore introduces that.
I hate to toot my own horn as I pat myself on the back. Well, who was telling you that their offensive coordinator hire was not very good?
Who was telling you that? Well, they actually can't.
I have a feeling
it was both coordinators because they ended up getting Vic Fangio to orchestrate the
defense. I don't know if that's a win yet.
I think it is.
I don't know. Dolphins players, as Dell's well aware, and he's pointed out.
You've got to have the guys to use on defense to be able to orchestrate the defense.
Let's all say it together. Branham knows ball. All right, what's your next cluster here?
All right, let's go to the AFC East. And I'm going to say all three teams are the AFC East because I think it's kind of a hotly contested debate as to who comes out of the division or who makes it in the playoffs from that division. Obviously, we're throwing out the Patriots. So, Bills, Dolphins, Jets. Who has the best season?
I'm going to say the Jets.
Aaron Rodgers, homer.
First of all, I believe in Aaron Rodgers as a football player because I've seen it too much. But I believe that the Jets is the most complete.
I said homer.
I think the Jets are the most complete team of the three teams because I don't believe in the Dolphins' defense. Because I have too many question marks about the Bills' offense, mm-hmm. and I believe that as long as Rodgers is healthy, with all the weapons, he has Breece Hall, he's got Garrett Wilson, he's got all these guys, I just feel like the Jets, I said the Jets would win the division, I'm sticking with it.
Don't forget Tyler Conklin that he has over there. I'm curious who their third best receiver is going to be. Allen Lazard, or Malachi Corley. Corley's the talent, Lazard's the vet, Rodgers has kind of been notorious for not trusting young receivers. Wouldn't surprise me if Lazard has a better year than their.
I'm surprised they didn't unload Lazard, and I think the reason they didn't was because Rodgers, when he's healthy, likes to go to him, and mm-hmm. he's a physical receiver. So I would say it's Lazard.
Yeah, Branham Best Bets had the Dolphins missing the playoffs and had the Bills winning the AFC East, so I'm going to go with the Buffalo Bills. I mean, look, they lost one game and then another game in the playoffs once they made Joe Brady their offensive coordinator and they dismissed Stephon Diggs from their offense. So I think the Bills are going to have a really good regular season and then fade away in the postseason like they always do.
Yeah. You guys know I'm not really high on the Bills, so I think I would take the – I think I'm going to lean towards the Dolphins. I mean, take the answer that no one gave in this conversation.
Was there for you.
I am intrigued by the Jets, though. Like, I think they have a shot. They have a shot.
Like, I think any one of those teams, I don't think it surprises if they went 8-9 or if they went 11-6.
I would be shocked if Buffalo went 8-9.
Which really?
Yeah.
Given the lack of offensive skill players?
Look what they did offensively last year whenever they basically told Stephon Diggs to go away. And I think that they have more offensive skill than you're willing to give them credit for. James Cook was solid. Dalton Kincaid was very good as a rookie.
You're talking about a six-game sample size versus a 17-game season, though.
5-1.
I know, still small sample size.
But also, look at the Buffalo Bills the last few years. Like, when was the last time that they were sub-500? Probably Josh Allen's rookie year. 11-6, 13-3, 11-6, 13-3, 10-6, 6-10 in 2018. Josh Allen's rookie year. Like, they've been super consistent.
Well, yeah, I mean, we've known that they're the ones that are supposed to be the one knocking on the door to upset the Chiefs every single year until now because of the loss of the receivers and the turnovers of Allen.
And to be fair, like, it makes me sick that I'm the one defending the Buffalo Bills. I don't like that organization, and I think Josh Allen's overrated. So I hate that I have to be the voice of reason when it comes to Buffalo. Hate it.
All right, let's go with teams with new quarterbacks. Commanders, Bears, Falcons.
That's a good call.
That's a really good question.
And this is who goes further, like, in the season?
Well, just, yeah, whoever finishes better. So you could say better record, or if you want to change it to a playoff conversation, if you have a super hot take, then go ahead. But I was thinking regular season record.
Yeah, I think you got two rookies in Kirk Cousins. To me, and you got a whole lot of weapons in Atlanta.
That is true.
So I think
great analysis, Cotton.
Well, I'm just saying. I mean, if I'm looking for a team that's going to go the furthest, that's going to be able to do some things. One thing I know about Kirk Cousins is he's done it in the regular season. And I think you give him all those weapons, and I really think they have an underrated, really, really good defense, young defense.
Well, they certainly added to it.
Yeah, I'll take Atlanta.
See, I think the Bears are a better team than the Falcons, but the Falcons finish. I think the Falcons win the division. So, like, I think the Bears are the better football team, but the Falcons are going to take advantage of being in the worst division in the NFL and make the playoffs. So, I guess because the Falcons
could win the division, though, with a worse record than the Bears.
Yeah, but they would be in the playoffs. So, wouldn't that be the better year?
Yeah, I was just thinking a regular season record. You can interpret how you'd like, but I was thinking regular season record.
I think they're going to be very close. I think the Falcons go like 9-8 and win the division. I think the Bears probably go like 7-10. Commanders, 5-6 wins.
Yeah, I don't think the Bears and Commanders make the playoffs.
But I think if the Bears were in the NFC South, I would pick the Bears to win that division. I think that's – I would. I absolutely would.
I couldn't do that in year one of Caleb Williams.
That division's awful.
It is, but I think that you have two – you have at least one and a half. Tampa won it last year. I'm not going to take too much away from them to say that they're a bad team.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Atlanta is a step above the other three teams.
If you traded the Bears for the Panthers in their divisions, I would have the Bears to win the NFC South. But the Falcons are the only one of these three teams I have making the playoffs. So, Falcons.
Oh, you want one more?
Yeah. Sure.
Let's go with some bottom dwellers here. Let's go with the Broncos, the Patriots, and the Giants. Any of these teams turning around, who does best?
Broncos. I think that Peyton's starting to get more of his guys across the roster. Of those three teams, I think that the Broncos have a better roster, and I believe more in Bo Nix than I do in the New England quarterback situation, for sure. And I just don't believe in Daniel Jones. I'll take the Broncos.
I think Drake May's going to be better than Bo Nix.
When does he start?
Week three. Like second half of week one. I don't think it's going to take any time for Drake May to be the starting quarterback.
I think New England struggles to win five games.
They might. But I was taking exception to that one specific point. I think Drake May is going to be better than Bo Nix. I think he's a little bit better athlete. I think he's considerably better athlete. I think he's got a bigger arm. I think Nix is going to be solid, though. Sean Payton won more games than I thought was possible last year in Denver. I think the Patriots will be in contention for the worst team in the NFL. You see Brian Daboll's calling plays for the Giants this year?
Yeah, I saw he went back to it.
Vanilla Vic 2 years ago, put up numbers. He kind of put up numbers a couple of years ago.
Yeah, the year they made the playoffs and won a playoff game.
He kind of put up numbers.
Got a stud at wide receiver. I don't know what kind of running game they're going to have. And if that offensive line was putrid a year
ago. They just have no weapons outside of neighbors.
Do they not? Wondell Robinson's not awful.
Slayton?
Jalen Hyatt's not. I mean, is Slayton their fourth receiver?
Maybe.
He's
it feels
very
like they
well could after, be their fourth receiver.
After neighbors, you put them in a bag, shake them up, and you got a bunch of wide receiver threes and see what falls out.
But. Robinson's probably the more talented of the bag of mid. Hyatt's probably the second most talented, and then Slayton's fourth, but then Slayton been more productive. Theo Johnson, I'm kind of interested in. What does he look like as a rookie? The running game, I think, will be okay. Singletary's familiar with the system. They like that Tyrone Tracy guy, but I got to go Broncos. I'm going to go Broncos. They won more games than I thought last year. I think they feel like they improved at quarterback, even though he's a rookie. I'll go Broncos, barely over the Giants. I think the Patriots are going to have the number one pick in the draft.
I agree. That's why I said five games is going to be a stretch. I think they're the worst team in the NFL.
Who do you think, Brian?
Yeah, I think I would lean Broncos. Bo Nix looks like he has picked up Sean Payton's offense pretty quick. I don't believe in Daniel Jones, even if Brian Daboll's taken play calling over. I'll go ahead and stick with the Broncos. I mean, they won how many games last year? Six or seven?
Yeah.
I think they're starting from a higher point. I'd go ahead and take them.
That was the funny thing with all the Russ controversy and then Russ and Payton and other things like that. You'd look up and you'd think that they had won one or two games. Then you looked at it and go, you know what? They've actually won quite a few games. They were in the mix for a while.
Yeah, it'll be I'm curious to see what all those teams look like. I'm curious to see what every NFL team
looks
like.
Who's the second worst team in the NFL? If New England is going to be the worst team, I think Carolina still is the second worst team in the NFL.
I got Carolina plus 2,500 to win the division.
Yes, you did.
Because they're a bad division.
For a reason.
Their defense is going to be awful. They might have the worst defense in the NFL.
Carolina?
Yeah.
Yeah, and they let their best defensive player go.
I think they're going to have the worst defense. I don't think they're going to be able to stop anybody. I think they'll be in the mix.
Raiders?
Yeah.
Raiders fight hard. You know what I mean? I like Antonio Pierce as a coach. He gets the most out of those guys. Their defense is pretty salty.
Yeah, they are.
Their defense ain't bad. Their defense will keep them in games. like Gardner Minshew like finds ways to win five or six games by himself. Yeah, is he going to be there the whole year?
Well, they might. The rumors they might still try and trade him, but he says he wants to be there. And you could do a whole lot worse than you got a guy like Gardner Minshew that can get the ball where it needs to go at least, and you got a guy that can go get it like Adams. That's got to be a big benefit.
I think they win like six or seven games, the Raiders. So like not quite first pick, but probably top 10. Maybe
yeah,
top
I guess
five.
It depends on how long Minshew's the starter. Which
yeah, they have nobody to go to. Like Aiden O'Connell, whatever.
Yeah, I guess it depends on how long they're competitive. I could see if they got off to a terrible start, then putting in Aiden O'Connell just to see if there's anything whatsoever with Aiden O'Connell.
Like if they're really bad with Minshew, they're just going to draft the guy. They're going to draft Shedeur Sanders.
Well, that might be another reason to go to Aiden O'Connell, though, yeah. to help him.
Yeah, I saw something today where either they said the Raiders were either going to trade to try and get to the pick to get Shedeur Sanders, or that they would just end up playing a year basically off to get the pick.
That's why I've been drafting Daniel Jones like late in these best balls, because you can get him for basically free. He has a chance to run for stuff, like, and have some big weeks. He has a chance to run for two touchdowns every now and then, which, I mean, obviously fantasy values rushing touchdowns. And there's nobody behind him to take his job.
Yeah, just
like
Drew
nobody.
Locke, that's it.
Like
DeVito, right?
Derek Carr or
yeah,
Daniel
Drew
Jones?
Drew Locke and Danny DeVito. Yeah.
Who
Locke? DeVito, that Tommy DeVito.
Like who's safer, Daniel Jones or Derek Carr?
Daniel Jones is going to have a way better year than Derek Carr.
Derek Carr might be benched by week seven.
For sure.
Yeah, they like Spencer Rattler in
the preseason.
There's
nobody behind Jones. Nope. Nobody. Mm-hmm. And I kind of feel the same way with Minshew. I don't feel like they're going to bench him for O'Connell. But maybe if they're
trying to get the top pick.
Yeah, that would change things for sure.
See, that's the thing. But the only thing that puts a monkey wrench in all that is Davis wants to win every year. I couldn't see him doing it.
Check back in mid-October. We'll see
what the
record
looks
like. They
benched Garoppolo for him last year. But Garoppolo was awful and Devontae Adams.
I was going to say it was more because Jimmy was just dogs.
Devontae Adams, I think, made that move. Like, if you watched the receiver on Netflix, like he like basically made that move. Devontae Adams calling the shots in Vegas. All right, let's get to Willibits. You never know what you're going to get. You just know it's going to be very, very good and sometimes tasty. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. DirecTV and DirecTV Stream customers, you have lost ESPN, including college football, Monday Night Football, ESPN Sunday Night Baseball, SportsCenter, and more. Take action now. Call 844-KEEP-MY-ESPN or visit keepmyespn.com.
This is ESPN 97.5.
It's the Killer Bees, and I honestly have no idea what's happening next. Could it be the next great big food debate? The biggest Joel rant of all time? Jeremy trolling someone to the point of crying? Or just some actual bees making some honey? Well, let's find out. It's time for the Wheel of Bits.
Oh, my goodness, would you look at this. What an enormous spin.
Let's play food debates.
Oh, it's my kind of debate. Tommy Guns is Jones' backup. Yeah, that's my point. They have nobody behind Daniel Jones. Knicks for Rookie of the Year.
A shot.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'd still bet, obviously, Caleb and Jaden Daniels and Marvin and
the receivers are pretty stacked.
Yeah.
The receivers are pretty stacked.
I might put him over Adunze just because Adunze might be the third read in Chicago.
I don't think so. I think Adunze is going to be top two in Chicago.
Okay, who's he beating out?
I would say Keenan.
Yeah, I think DJ Moore is going to be.
Keenan's got the body of a tight end and a bad heel.
Okay. I don't think Keenan's washed.
He's been eating a little bit of deep dish pizza. Probably from Pequod's with their amazing wings. 8-0-8-9, Jets miss the playoffs with healthy Rodgers. I think it's in play. I mean, what if Rodgers is just, Justin Verlander?
That's the most volatile pick of everybody making predictions these days. People are either picking the Jets to win the Super Bowl or be a strong playoff team, or they're picking them to be a bust.
I haven't seen one person pick the Jets to win the Super Bowl.
Okay. Well, maybe Craig Carton's morning on NFL Network is one of them.
Craig Carton, the New Yorker.
But there's several. I've seen others that have said they're going to win the division. They're going to go to the AFC Championship game. Greenberg, of course, the big Jets fan.
He picked them to win the Super Bowl?
He picked them to be the biggest competition to beat the Chiefs out and go to the Super Bowl.
Carton doing that for clicks. We all know what Carton's doing that for.
I'm just saying. I've seen multiple guys do that.
Just
but
throw
a lot
the crap out there to get clicks.
But a lot of people are either boom or bust with the Jets.
Vanilla Coke is goated, says 53. That is my favorite Coke, but
is
we don't have
really?
That. Yeah, I love vanilla
Cherry
Coke.
Cherry Coke. I love the...
Oh, give you me guys vanilla. Are disgusting.
They don't have vanilla Coke in the vending machine, though.
For good reason.
You know what I will do sometimes? You if I don't have a vanilla Coke?
No. Cherry Coke's
Cherry Coke's
disgusting.
Good, too.
Cherry Coke's
really? Cherry Coke's good. I like all Cokes. All of them. Sometimes if I don't have a vanilla Coke, I'll just put a little bit of vanilla in my Coke.
Just that.
Vanilla extract into the Coke. Because I live like that. I'm dangerous.
Growing up in Milwaukee, that's what we did. I mean, you go to the bowling alleys. My parents were my whole family bowled. You go to the bowling alleys, just get a Coke with a little grenadine, and it's a cherry Coke.
You like the vanilla cherry Coke?
No.
That's too much going on for me.
That's too much of a combo platter going on.
I agree with that. That's too much going on. All right. Food debates.
Yeah, we ran out.
Following our debate. Now we go to the food.
What food, one food, could you eat a ridiculous amount of in one sitting? This is going to be hard for me to limit it to one.
Yeah, no, I have so many of them.
They got three or four right off the top.
What are they?
Chicken nuggets.
Ooh.
Pizza.
Okay. I feel like pizza's pretty full, like, filling, though.
Depends on the type of pizza,
I guess. Super carby.
No, hold on. Actually,
seen it.
I can back Joel up on this because there was a show where you were out because of March Madness, and we did it at Nick's place. And after Joel watched, was impressed by how much of rigatoni I think I got.
Yeah.
I think he said, "Stand back, hold my beer." He ordered an entire pizza.
I ordered a large pizza. I said, "Brian, I will eat every piece, and
pizza?
No one will touch it."
Yeah, he did,
and it will be gone. And it was.
You ate an entire pizza in 3 hours.
I can do a star pizza.
Oh no, he ordered it like at the end of the show and had it down in 20 minutes.
I will do a star pizza deep dish.
That's impressive.
Large. I will do it in one sitting in less than a half hour.
You. After that,
with
I
all
believe
those
you.
Carbs,
no doubt.
That's amazing. That's impressive.
I agree with your premise, Jeremy, that like the more carb heavy it is, it's harder to eat all of it. But I witnessed Joel did it, so
I couldn't do that.
I'll stick. You know what? I was going to say. I'll tell you, the other one is shrimp. Like the shrimp, like you go where they got the big shrimp platters and stuff like that, and it's like in the buffet style. What?
Joel is an enemy of the all-you-can-eat buffet.
Yes. Yes. Like the beauty of all that, whenever you went to like the NBA meetings where they were out on at a certain site, they'd have this massive buffet. And they'd bring out all comp, of course. And they'd bring out nothing but these jumbo shrimp platters. I'd be like, I'm going to probably make trips and wait for people to not watch me.
Yeah.
But I will hammer these shrimp.
I love seafood. I try not to overeat seafood, though.
Because of the chance that something could go wrong?
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand that. But, boy, when they get those big jumbo shrimp cocktail shrimp out there on the buffet line, look the hell up.
I do love shrimp. Like, in the you do the St. Elmo's ever? Whenever you were in Indy, you never did the St. Elmo's shrimp? With, like, the horseradish and it burns your...
Yeah, you're supposed to. Yeah, we did it once.
It's not... I mean, it's a little overrated.
It is overrated.
But it's you have to do it. I love shrimp. Crawfish, though, for me, I'd just say I would never do that with seafood. But crawfish, to me, I can crush that in a sitting. Wings, obviously. Fries.
Oh, fries.
I mean, obviously,
sure.
That's carb-heavy as well. But fries, it's usually things that taste really good. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, my goodness, I ate so much of this. And it sneaks up on you. You're like, oh, I did too much.
Yeah.
Chips, potato chips, well, especially with, like, dips. Thanksgiving, any sort of Thanksgiving. Popcorn as
popcorn.
Well.
I was just thinking because we get the skinny pops, the big family size bags.
Yeah.
And I tell my kids, go get something else because you ain't getting any of this. It's gone. I'm eating all of it.
I don't eat ice cream that often, but when I do, it's very easy that I can eat the entire container because I just can't stop. It's like, this is so good.
If my wife's out of town, I could finish
Plus,
the whole thing.
It gets to that perfect texture, too.
Like,
whenever it's not frozen hard and it's kind of soft and you're getting the perfect spoonful.
Kind of melt
in
your mouth.
I can't stop this.
No.
Yeah,
this
tastes
is perfect.
Great. Cold going in, but it's melting your mouth. And you're like, I'm just keep going.
Plus, you're in the
really
wheelhouse.
I don't want to refreeze ice cream anyway.
No,
so
right.
I'm almost telling myself, like, well, I have to do it because it's going to go bad.
I can't.
So you got to pick one.
I can't name one. Probably. Okay.
I thought your answer would be wings.
See, I would be between wings and crawfish.
And
crawfish.
I broke out in hives once with crawfish. I can't do crawfish.
I'd be between wings and crawfish because I could literally eat crawfish the entire day. Like, and I'll do a crawfish boil once a year, and it'll be done around noon, and I'm eating crawfish at 10 o'clock at night. Like, I can eat crawfish
the entire
day.
So crawfish is like
day.
Your Thanksgiving day?
I wouldn't say it replaces it.
No, not replacing it. I'm saying in the same kind of premise where you start, you could just keep going all day.
Like, you make enough that it lasts you the entire day. And you have leftovers, and you're picking all, you're peeling the leftovers. That way you can make gumbo in the winter, which was really what irritated me during the hurricane, was that I lost all my crawfish and shrimp for my winter gumbo.
The freezer melt.
Really annoyed me. I probably lean crawfish, but wings is right there. How about you, Brian?
Mine actually both come from, and I don't get to go often, but the things they bring out at the Brazilian steakhouses, there's two things in particular that I could eat a thousand of them if I could eat five. One, and I'm going to butcher the name, but it's the cheese bread they bring out.
So good.
The pau de queijo.
I didn't even know it had a name.
I'm going to butcher the name. But it's that little roll that's cheese bread. And my wife and I, she's the same as me. Like, when they bring that, I was like, you could basically pretend the meats don't exist. I could crush those.
But you're the sucker because they're filling you up with that.
That's what they want you to do.
Exactly.
Right.
I know, they're filling you up with that.
Trust me, I could still throw down a lot of the meat.
It is sinful how good that bread
is. It is so good. And the other thing also that they bring out that I could eat a thousand of are the polenta fries.
Not so much for me.
Really, you don't like the polenta? Oh,
why are you eating all
fries?
This extra food at Brazilian steakhouses?
Trust me, I still...
You are their target audience.
No, I don't go to the salad bar. I don't make that mistake. I don't touch the salad bar.
True Lux used to have all-you-can-eat stone crab, and stone crab was phenomenal. It's a lot of work, but it's really good. And then they give you all you want, mac and cheese and mashed potatoes and baked potatoes and all that stuff.
Sure.
Because they just want you to fill up on all the crap that's not as expensive.
There's two other things they bring out. They bring out like a fried banana and some mashed potatoes. I don't touch that. But the cheese bread and the polenta fries, I do eat quite a bit of that. And I still have plenty of room for all the prime cuts of beef they bring out. But I can't stay away from the polenta fries and the cheese bread.
What's polenta?
It's like a – it's kind of similar to like grits, but the texture's a little different, and they fry it and bring it together like a French fry. It's crispy like a French fry,
okay,
but tastes a little bit different. Okay.
The few textures here, crawfish listed. You can eat crawfish all day. Tamales is a good call.
Yeah, good call.
Like, tamales are so good, and I usually eat them around Christmas.
Yeah.
But I could pound a dozen of them. A dozen of them, easy. Easy.
There's normally a lot of families that are making them and bringing them to places, too, during the holidays. You're right.
Yep. They're hard to make. Wings, says the texture. Yes. I could eat a ton of Chipotle or Freebird burritos.
No, thanks.
And the aftermath ain't going
to
be pretty.
I don't want to be around.
Keith, chicken wings and pasta. See, that pasta is also tough for me.
Carb load? Nah.
Yeah, it's tough for me. Homemade baked mac and cheese with a brown layer of cheese on top. Tasty, but I couldn't eat that nonstop.
Again, the carbs is just going to feel so bloated, you're not going to do it.
Pork fried rice. I love fried rice.
Fried rice is awesome. That's a good one.
All you can eat sushi. That's dangerous.
That's really dangerous.
There's a few spots in Vegas that I like all you can eat sushi, though. You just have to kind of like, you can't go ham. Like, you gotta have a little bit of reservation.
Yeah, a little self-control for the possibility.
Like, you don't want to be filled to the gills with sushi. Like, steak? Okay, you'll be all right. Sushi? It's dangerous, man. A slow-smoked Central Texas barbecue? I love barbecue. I can't eat like an entire brisket. You know what I mean?
I was just going to say, I could go to town on a brisket.
Yeah, I can't go nuts. Sushi and chips and queso.
That's a
good one.
Chips and anything.
Chips
and queso, chips and salsa, chips and wok. Like, I could eat
that all
day.
We've all been there where we go out to eat, and by the time you actually get your meal, like, damn, I've eaten so much of the chips
much
and salsa
like
or chips and queso.
Jeremy was talking about with like the buffets and what they really want you to do. That's why the Mexican food places give you all the unlimited chips and salsa you want, because now you feel full when you left, so you're happy.
Yeah, but it's not all you can eat, though. So, like, you're still getting that, you know, the full allotment. You know what I mean?
Well, but, I mean, the chips and salsa is all you can eat at a Mexican place.
But the fajitas aren't.
No, but
like,
I'm saying,
they're not feeding you chips and salsa, so you don't eat all their fajitas.
No, but part of the main objective with restaurateurs is the fact that they want you to leave
full.
Yeah,
but, I mean, the all-you-can-eat is a little different, because, like, they don't want you to eat all their $20 steaks.
Whereas, I get it.
Yeah, it's a little different. Crawfish and deviled eggs, steak, all this. I love steak so much.
Deviled eggs.
Deviled eggs. No.
I
mean,
I wouldn't go deviled eggs.
Yeah, no. I'll eat one or two, but there's no way I'm going to crush
those.
All
you can eat deviled eggs?
Come
That'd
on, no.
A Chewy's creamy jalapeno dip.
I do love that.
Yeah. Popcorn, amen on that. Oysters, couldn't do oysters.
No, thank you.
I like oysters. I couldn't do all day oysters. Ponchos. Like, is he talking about the restaurant?
Has to be. I actually didn't think those existed, but I drove by one in Humble the other
one
day.
In Humble, right there in that shopping center off of 1960
and 59. I didn't know it existed, but there's at least one in Humble.
I used to raise the flag there when I was a child. Smoked salmon. I couldn't do all you can eat smoked salmon. United chili dogs.
I like salmon.
I like salmon raw.
Thing?
I like sushi salmon more than cooked salmon. Okay. I'll eat both. Fritos and bean dip? You're nuts.
No way.
Cereal, lobster. Lobster is very good.
Boy.
Yeah. Lobster is very good. I think we went the full allotment here. Mm-hmm. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line. Would you trade another Astros World Series for a Texans 7-win season? 713-780-3776. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Hey, it's me, Branham. Tell you about my favorite sports book and casino. In fact, I made a bet during the show today. I took the over on Anthony Richardson's rushing yards. If you're making these bets this time of year, you need to be doing it at BetUS.com. Football is back as we know. It's here tomorrow night. And if you want a game plan to win this season, check out BetUS. I endorse one sportsbook casino. That's BetUS. And they went large for you this season with a huge offer. A 125% sign-up bonus on your first three deposits. That's right. 125% bonus on your first three deposits. BetUS offers value other sportsbooks simply do not. Gambler's insurance, crypto bonuses, casino bonuses. Plus, they have all the products you need. Competitive odds, parlay, live betting, odds boost, and prop betting. When you're ready to lay down your bet, give your bet an edge. Why not combine your sign-up bonus with knowledge? Get that knowledge with expert analysis, picks, and predictions on all major sports on their very own BetUS TV. Get started today, BetUS.com, or give them a call at 1-800-MY-BETUS. BetUS, where the game begins.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Brian's taking the rest of the show off. Fidel's filling in. Brian, how about that? Brian never works. You notice that?
You're not wrong.
It's never working.
And then the crazy thing was, it's like he missed us so much that while he wasn't working, he randomly started loitering yesterday and bothering B-Rod.
Yeah, it's embarrassing. Ocho just wanted to say the Texans making Diggs a captain is top tier and definitely necessary for that petulant child. Placating and definitely necessary for that petulant child. The thing here, though, is the players voted on it. D'Amico confirmed that today. So D'Amico confirmed the players voted for the captains. So Stephon Diggs being a captain was because of the players, not D'Amico, not Casario. It was the players.
I would say this, though. We talked about it a little bit yesterday. The big thing to me is they've done this kind of thing before with Cooks, and I don't know if it was all the same way because, like you mentioned,
different coaching staff, though. Like, D'Amico wasn't here when Cooks was.
No, D'Amico wasn't, right? But Casario was.
Yeah, but I mean, you're talking about the current Texans culture. This is D'Amico's culture. I don't think that anything has carried over pre-D'Amico into D'Amico's tenure as the head coach.
I know analytics have.
I think that when you did what you did with this contract, when you know, because whatever, you're doing the smartest thing you can do to cover all your bases, I think that it could also be at least a thought process where you say, hey, we want him to be super happy, and, you know, we're trying to dispel all this other crap, whatever happened in the past.
Yeah, I think that that's in play, but I don't think that the previous regime is carried over into D'Amico's culture. I think that's the one thing D'Amico immediately got rid of and changed in year one, and Cooks was gone by then, and Casario's not influencing D'Amico Ryan's culture. I think that's why Nick Casario kind of took the back seat, and hey, D'Amico, this is your locker room, this is your team, I'm here to help you, I'll help you with the roster, but this is you. You're the face of this organization as it should be. The contract stuff, I would say, yeah, I think that's in play. But the players picked the captain. So, like, the Texans aren't putting the C on Stephon Diggs to placate him. Now, the contract, that's very much in play. They you know, Diggs wanted a new deal. I think that they kind of met in the middle. Hey, we'll tear up that second year, one-year deal. You have a good year. Now you can really, you know, cash in whenever you enter free agency. I think that that's the same thing they did with Steven Nelson. Steven Nelson, you know, demanding more money. What'd they do? They gave him more money. So the Texans do have a reputation in the last 2 years of giving guys that could potentially be problematic their contract desires. I think they gave Stephon Diggs his contract desire, if you believe he's capable of being problematic. And then they obviously gave Steven Nelson his contract desires. And he was being loud. He was being noisy. And then after the year, he was loud and noisy again.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it probably cost him a chance to come back regardless, and then he ended up retiring. But, yeah, I think in the case of Diggs, look, I think they're putting all their eggs in the basket for this year, regardless of whose call it was and the players voting and all these other things. And so, you know, it's in your best interest when you are basically in the start of a really hopefully long open window of success. But for this particular year, you're kind of in go for it mode that you want your best guys to be happy and then let the season play out.
Yeah, I don't think that the C represents that. The contract, I would. 6837, Steph was a captain at the Vikings and Bills. Doesn't really mean anything, time will tell. I agree with that. Like, go look who were captains last year around the NFL, and like some of them are like, oh, really? Steven Nelson was a captain with the Texans, and he was calling D'Amico Ryan's racist names at the end of the season. So it's not, you know, that it doesn't always mean anything. 6856, Key from L.A., Paul was acting really racy about Stephon Diggs being the captain. I didn't hear that. What was he saying?
I don't know.
Key from L.A. No, Give us context. All right, all the texters here are saying that they would take the championship. Always championship over anything else. Dre said, give me the title. That's an easy trade. The Texans would be good, but have to have another World Series. That would be incredible. Another texter saying, heck yes, I'd trade a 7-win season for another Astros World Series title without question. I'm not even sure if you said winning at all or just getting there, but either way, yes. Maybe the question's how low would you go?
Yes, it is.
How low would you go? What is the worst season you would take if the Astros to win it all?
I could go 5.
I would go 0.
Yeah, I could go 5. I just feel like the fact is that, you know, injuries happen, things can happen, but we know everything we've talked about in terms of the schedule's tougher, and no one's going to lose their mind if they didn't make the playoffs this year in a certain degree because of the fact that we know that, you know, what they're up against. But we also don't believe that the window's closing. We don't believe that they're a bad football team. And I think that there's going to be multiple chances before you get to a CJ second contract where this team's going to have a chance to win. But what it means from a legacy perspective, from a dynasty perspective, from a solidification of everything for the final time for the Astros perspective is really what crossed my mind with this, because of the fact that we know what 17 was, we know what 22 did, but now because of the fact that they've been on this mad run and how this season started, to end it like this, to kind of put the exclamation mark on the run, even if it doesn't stop, I think it means so much for the legacy and the city.
I would. So how low are you willing to go? 5?
Yeah, I think 5.
I'm going 0. If I'm in another World Series, give me an 0-17 year. And then James Pierce Jr., you're a Houston Texan. You're a Houston Texan next year. He's the number one guy on the mock draft. So give me that guy. You're embracing the suck, winning a World Series title, and then you're really positioning yourself pretty nicely in 2025. I would trade as an 0-17 year for another World Series title. And I would do the same thing the other way. I would take a 50-win Astros season for a Texans championship. Like the texter said, give me titles. Give me parades. That's the stuff I value. I'm here for that.
I think the other thing that matters in all of this, though, too, is the fact that the Astros have a legit chance no matter what happens. So, for me, that's why I'm not going to go rock bottom for the Texans, because I believe there's a ton of talent, and I don't want them to be embarrassing like we've been through.
Eric says 1 win, don't want to be the first 0-17 team. I think that's fair. But, like, what's the difference between a 5-12 season and a 1-16 season?
Hey, better at that point. Remember when we were bracing the suck? It's the best draft pick you can get at that point.
Yeah, I would absolutely take. I mean, I don't even care about being the first 0-17 team. Like, whatever. Like, they'll be good next year. Like, you're giving the first round. You're getting the first pick of the draft. You're getting an Astro World Series championship, and then you're going to be fine next year in 2025. So I would. I don't even care. 0-17, fine by me.
No, I'm completely opposite of you guys on this. If the Astros hadn't had the level of success they've had over the last 7 years, then I probably would agree with this take. But considering the 7 straight ALCSs, the 4 World Series trips, the 2 titles, I've had enough fun with the Astros that I'm not going to play games with the Texans to get another World Series ring. I'd rather see what the Texans do. Like, this is year 23 of the Texans. They haven't even been to an AFC championship game. I'm not willing to accept any sort of a step back, even if it means another title for the Astros. I've gotten a ton of enjoyment out of the 2 Astros titles. I'm not taking a step back from the Texans.
8-9. You're not taking 8-9.
Okay.
8-9 missed the playoffs.
If CJ still looks good and we're still hopeful for next year, then sure.
I'd rather be 0-17 than 8-9.
Well, now the picks suck.
Now you got the first pick.
Yeah, I'm more not. I was okay with eight more because it probably means you still look like a decent team, a team that could ascend. We'd probably make the excuses that, hey, Joel was right, the schedule was too tough, they're going to be better next year. What really isn't about the win total at that point is more in representing that you're still a team on the rise. But yeah, I'm not willing to take a step back. I mean, they've got two World Series
He's
titles.
Anti-rings.
No,
it's anti-parades.
No, I'm anti-spending 23 years waiting for the Texans to get to another level.
They'll be there.
I'm not
going
to take a step back.
They'll be back in 25.
Yeah, you know they're going to
no
be back.
Of
there's
that.
Too much talent
it'll be,
in there.
It'll be 2016 Astros.
You don't make the signings they do, the trades they do, to go for this year to throw it away. No, I'm not taking a step back.
Travis Hunter, you're a Houston Texan as I celebrate my World Series championship. Luther Burden, you're my
first guy you named?
You're a Houston Texan. The number one guy on the CBS mock draft is James Pierce Jr. He's the top edge guy. He's from Tennessee.
Oh.
Shadur Sanders, you're a Houston Texan.
Sanders and another quarterback that was here top of the draft class.
What's that?
I heard Sanders and another quarterback top of the draft class as well.
Which quarterback?
The Raiders were between two. They said
Carson Beck? Georgia?
Nah, maybe.
Cam Ward?
Yeah, I think it might have been Cam Ward.
I haven't seen Ward in the first round in any of these yet.
It was definitely Shadur Sanders to the Raiders. The Raiders were going to do some things and get to the number one pick because that's who's going to be the number one pick.
It's way too early to be looking at mocks. 63-23, I'll take a World Series win and Super Bowl for every Rockets to have blown MCL, ACL tears. Not the question. 1565, shut up, B-Mac.
It's fine.
Give me 0-17 Texans and I throw in 20 Rocket wins. 0612, who would you want to see win the next championship is the question. I think that is a pretty challenging
Texans.
Question.
23 years. Of mediocrity.
Houston Cougars. That's my answer.
Well, yeah, I know you would
Houston
you would
Cougars.
Give that answer.
Oh, then in the city, who do you want to see to win the next championship?
Should we save this for tomorrow?
Yeah, we should.
We already
we'll save that for
we're
tomorrow.
Past,
we're blown past by the 5 o'clock break. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Patrick Surtain, the highest paid corner in NFL history. What does this mean for Derek Stingley Jr.? It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
This is ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Behind those warm and cozy nights at home, thousands of employees at BP go to work every day. People producing more U.S. natural gas, people building grid scale solar capacity. People turning landfill waste gas into pipeline-quality renewable natural gas. And people delivering all of that power where it's needed. They're part of almost 300,000 jobs BP supports across the country. Learn more at bp.com/investing in America.